welcome to the BSG podcast from top to bottom. My name is Jennifer Tam. I'm a gastroenterology trainee working in the west of Scotland. And today I'm delighted to be joined with Dr. Bel Cock, a consultant gastroenterologist from the Royal London Hospital and an honorary senior lecturer at Queen Mary University of London, and one of the co-authors in the new BSG inflammatory bowel disease guidelines. Welcome, Dr. Cock.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
On the podcast today, we're going to discuss the updated BSG IBD guidelines with a special focus on the acute severe ulcerative colitis section. Patients presenting with acute severe colitis is a very common problem for our colleagues in gastroenterology and acute medicine. So it is very important we know how to manage these patients very well and we keep up to date with the new guidelines. To start, it would be great if you could summarise the definition of acute severe ulcerative colitis.
Yeah, acute severe colitis or ASUC is indeed an emergency. And as you said, it's really important that everyone in gastroenterology and also acute medicine is familiar with this. And the formal definition or the criteria for acute severe colitis are still based on the well-established Truloff and Witz criteria from 1955, they are. These criteria identify specific markers of severity. And to meet the criteria, a patient must present with six or more bloody stools per day. And then in addition, they must have at least one sign of systemic toxicity. And they include tachycardia, defined as a heart rate over 90, a fever with a temperature over 37.8, anemia as indicated by hemoglobin below 105, and a raised ESR of more than 30. But nowadays, an included modification to the criteria is an elevated CRP, and 30 or over is often used. And when patients have acute severe colitis, according to these criteria, they must be admitted to hospital for urgent treatment. And then to start this treatment according to an algorithm that is discussed in detail in the guidelines. And the guidelines also summarize it in one easy to read figure.
Thank you for that. For junior doctors who are kind of new to the hospital, what would be the treatment options and the treatment management plan for these patients in the first 24 or 48 hours?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the first 24, 48 hours are indeed most important. So these patients are admitted to the hospital and then the clock sort of starts ticking. We give steroids, don't delay that, but it's really important that we exclude infections. So stool cultures are sent and we also do a sigmoidoscopy for biopsy so we can exclude CMV. All the meanwhile, patients are treated with steroids and with low molecular weight heparin. This does not increase the risk of bleeding. Patients will get daily reviews by gastroenterology and maybe also the surgeons to check for systemic toxicity, making sure they are not developing acute toxic megacolon. And we monitor the response to treatment daily to see if they are responding to the steroids or not, and if salvage therapy is needed or not. Salvage therapy might mean escalating medical treatment or having surgery. And all these decisions, which are taken daily or in the beginning, there are multiple decisions to be made in the first day, summarized in a really handy figure that is on page 41 of the guidelines. So you can just have this one figure in your phone and then you will always know how to treat.
Why do you think it was important to update the acute severe ulcerative colitis section of the BSG guidelines? And what do you think is the single biggest change compared to the previous guidelines?
Yeah, because acute severe colitis is a medical emergency, it's important that we continue to do this well. It has a significant risk profile and data continue even in modern era to show that the overall mortality is 1% and up to 20% of patients will require a subtotal colectomy during their initial admission. So it's really important that we give patients prompt, effective management. So it's important that the guidelines are updated also on this section to reflect the latest evidence and to ensure that patients receive the best possible care. And the biggest change, I would say, is that the guidelines discuss the newer advanced therapies that have come out since 2019, and that these can be considered for our patients with acute severe colitis. And I must say, even in patients that are steroid responders, if they are naive to advanced therapy, this is discussed in quite a lot of detail. So that, I would say, is the biggest change.
One of the clearest messages in the guidelines is do not delay escalation. Did you find any evidence that delays to rescue therapy or surgery were a problem in the real world?
Yeah, so regarding delayed medical treatment for acute severe colitis, it's been known for a long time that certain patients that are at higher risk of needing a colectomy, and we assess this risk at day 3 to 5 using a risk scoring tool like the Oxford criteria. And if patients are identified as being at high risk, then we should therefore offer them medical salvage therapy to avoid them having to need a colectomy as an emergency. It must be said that surgery at this point would also be a possible option that can be offered to our patients. But it's really important to recognize a lack of response to medical therapy in a timely manner. So by this, I mean, if we then escalate treatment, if that's not working, because studies show that if you do not respond to medical therapy and then later down the line go on to have a colectomy, you do have a higher rate of post-operative complications, including sepsis, venous thromboembolism, but also mortality. And continuing intravenous steroids for more than 10 days is also associated with toxicity. So it's important that we make decisions promptly and that we avoid delays, because we know that if patients do go on with to have surgery, what predicts mostly if they have postoperative complications is the number of hospital admission days they had before they underwent the surgery.
Sometimes patients need rescue therapy, and one of the rescue therapies might be surgery, but the medical rescue therapies include infliximab and cyclosporine, and they're both equally as effective as each other. In the new guidance, there's a stronger emphasis on accelerated infliximab dosing and therapeutic drug monitoring. Can you talk us through the evidence that shaped this shift compared to the previous guidance?
Yeah, I mean, the guideline discussed that for patients who do not respond to initial intravenous steroids, you may consider an intensified dosing regimen of infliximab, particularly when patients have low serum albumin levels. And this is supported by the understanding that severe inflammation in acute severe colitis can lead to a sink effect. So where the drug is really being used up in the inflamed tissue, it either leaks or it's degraded by the proteases in the inflamed mucosa. So patients then, we know that patients require higher infliximab levels to reach certain serum concentration levels and therefore to be thought to be effective at mucosal levels. There's some supporting evidence that escalated infliximab dosing lowers colectomy rates. This comes from observational studies, but it must be said that there is quite a lot of conflicting evidence too. Systematic reviews did not show a benefit for accelerated regimens, and there recently has also been an open-label randomized trial, the PREDICT-UC study. It found no difference at day 7 for clinical response between patients receiving either 10 or 5 milligram doses. It was quite a complex dosing regimen in this PREDICT-UC study, and at day 7, the rate of response was numerically lower in those who had albumins under 25 compared with those over 25. However, also here, overall, no difference in clinical response was seen in patients that had 10 milligrams per kilogram when it was stratified by albumin use. So there's no clear evidence, and this is also not a recommendation, but the guideline development group have made a good practice statement that dose intensification may benefit a select group of patients, particularly those with a low serum albumin, because we know that this independently correlates with lower infliximab serum concentrations.
Tofacitinib and JAK inhibitors are a new feature for potential rescue therapy. Can you talk us through the special circumstances for their use and why we are only considering them in certain situations?
Yeah, indeed. These updated guidelines introduce the consideration of JAK inhibitors like tofacitinib or upadacitinib for select patients who are steroid refractory. Possible circumstances might be patients already exposed to many other advanced agents, in particular when this includes infliximab. And the rationale is that JAK inhibitors have a short half-life and they also often show a rapid symptomatic improvement. So it's something that could be effective very quickly. They are also less susceptible to intestinal loss because they are small molecules. And there is increasing supporting evidence for this, mainly retrospective studies, but they have shown promising, although limited, evidence. Of course, we must highlight the concerns and limitations. So the limitations are the lack of prospective randomized evidence and also the well-known safety concerns of JAK inhibitors. So, you know, we know there is this so-called JAK box warning around them because there's an increased risk of things like cardiac events, but also importantly, thrombotic events. And this is an important one because in acute severe colitis with this acute inflammation, this is an additional risk factor for thrombosis. So yes, they can be considered, but this should be done only after careful consideration with counseling of the benefits and the risks to our patients and done in an MDT approach.
Do you think that JAK inhibitors will become more mainstream rescue therapy by the next guideline iteration?
Yeah, I really suspect so. So as I've just said, there we have a lack of evidence at the moment for the use of JAK inhibitors in acute severe colitis, but a really important a randomized controlled trial is currently underway in the UK. This is the Akeso trial, and it investigates the use of upadacitinib in combination with intravenous steroids for patients with acute severe colitis. And the main goal of this study is to see, indeed, if combination treatment of upadacitinib with corticosteroids reduces the number of patients who need further medical treatments or surgery. And also, very importantly, to evaluate the safety of doing this. And so this study is currently underway. It aims to recruit 300 patients. So I very much expect that by the next guideline, the guideline development group should be able to include the results of this.
It'll be very interesting to see the results of that trial. Looking towards the future, where do you think we need to concentrate our research in areas to move things forward and improve outcomes for our patients?
Yeah, so I think that with the increasing availability of drugs that we now have for treating ulcerative colitis, because they really are expanding, these drugs have a wide variety of mechanisms of action. I think it's really important that we get more specific and stronger data for their use in acute severe colitis. And these drugs can be employed either as monotherapy or in combination therapy with other treatments. And because patients with acute severe colitis, we know, have a high risk of complications, we cannot design trials where there are only placebo arms. That's not acceptable. And again, the Akeso study does this already for us. It compares upadacitinib plus steroids versus steroids alone. And then looking even further ahead, after Akeso, if this shows good results, it might even be time to challenge the position of steroids as the first-line treatment. So who knows where we would be in 5-10 years' time.
It's a rapidly changing field, isn't it? For clinicians who've been practicing under the 2019 guidance, what is the single most important change that they need to adapt to right now?
Well, I think a very important thing to be aware of, the main thing maybe even to be aware of, is the expanded therapeutic options and to know what's available and what the evidence base is around it. And this is important because many of our patients will have been exposed to many other treatments. And the guidelines build indeed on the previous document by incorporating these newer therapies. So that includes the possibility of using cyclosporine as a bridge to newer agents, such as, for instance, vedolizumab or ustekinumab, but it would also include P19 agents, potential use of JAK inhibitors with all the caveats that we discussed. And it also importantly says that even in IVCR responders, advanced therapies may be considered. So they say that azathioprine is an option, but you may also consider going to an advanced agent. So you don't have to definitely put a steroid responder on azathioprine.
Thank you so much for that comprehensive overview of acute severe ulcerative colitis. This podcast will be really interesting and useful for general physicians, gastroenterologists, and the IBD nurses. And for our listeners, we'll put a link for the full BSG guidelines in the show notes. And that's everything for this podcast. So thanks for tuning in. And remember to check out the other podcasts from the BSG from top to bottom.